Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Here with your host, Tim Link, and I thank you for joining us today. We've got another great, exciting show. My guest today is author and studio animal trainer, Sue Chipperton. And Sue will be here talking to us today about her recently released book, A Famous Dog's Life, the story of Gidget, America's most beloved Chihuahua. It details the life of Gidget, the famous Yokiro Taco Bell dog, and the fascinating world of Hollywood animal training, because Sue does a lot of that. And we're going to talk to her about how she goes about doing that and some of the dogs and animals that she works with. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about an article I read about dealing with cat hair. This is actually a good one that could deal with any animal hair at all, but dealing with cat hair, it was written by Dr. Amy Wolf, and she gives us some really good advice, some that we've thought of and some maybe you haven't thought of, about how to clean up pet hair that, you know, really is part of everyday life. There's some strategies she's put together to help reduce the amount of hair that's in your house, your car, your clothes, your furniture. As you know, pet hair can be a nuisance, but it even can cause some medical issues. I work with hundreds and hundreds of cats myself, but I'm allergic to cat dander. And so whenever I'm around our 10 feral cats that we have that we take care of, I have to make sure I clean up and wash up afterwards to make sure the allergies and asthma and different things don't flare up. But a few suggestions she has, I'm going to throw a few of them out and you can read more about them on the blog later on. But grooming obviously is a big part of it. Keeping your pet well groomed, cleaned, and groomed up is a big part of keeping the dander down. Furniture, if you can, keep the pets off the furniture. Discourage them from getting on the furniture by having their own little pet beds, pet furniture, places for them to lie that is a their special places. Cleaning the carpets regularly, make sure you're removing the pet hair. Clothing, keep plenty of the pet hair rollers and brushes nearby to get rid of some of that hair that gets on the clothing and captures it. In your car, you can drape towels or a little blanket or something over the seats to make sure you're collecting the hair from the animals. Or better yet, put them in a protected cage unit in the back to make sure that they're fastened down, make sure everything's good and safe for them as well. And there's also, you need to take a look at shedless pets. Pets that shed a little bit less or have a little bit less issue with the dander. With cats, you know, the Sphinx cats are a big one that you can take a look at. And there's a whole host of other ones that we're going to be providing for you as well. So if you have issues with dealing with cat hair or pet hair in general, you can find out more and get more helpful tips and hints by visiting my blog and my website. Go to the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on Animal Rights, read the blog, and you can read more about dealing with cat hair. We'll also post the website. Go and read more about how to take care of the fur that is flying around your house. So a little bit of tidbits there, a little bit of helpful hints. Hope that'll help you out. So we're going to take a little bit of commercial break. We're going to be right back with Sue Chipperton right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where the healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
Go to LadyFootLocker.com and enter the code AFANW1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at LadyFootLocker.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, which you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/rights and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/rights, WRITES.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is Sue Chipperton, author of the recently released book, A Famous Dog's Life, The Story of Gidget, America's Most Beloved Chihuahua. Sue, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you here on today. I think everybody knows Gidget and knows the story a little bit about Yokiro Taco Bell, but I want to go behind the scenes and learn a little bit more. So tell us a little bit about the book, A Famous Dog's Life.
Well, the book starts at the beginning of her life when I found her as a puppy at a breeder. I fell in love with her when she was 8 weeks old. And we got her, and she lived with me right up until she passed away in 2009 when she was 15 years old. So I had her the whole time. She was, you know, lived life pretty much as a pet. So the book chronicles her entire life from when I found her right up until the end. Speckled in amongst all of that is my story of working on set with other animals and the celebrities that I've worked with and, you know, all the fun behind-the-scenes stories and a few little training tips thrown in there for good measure.
That's
so
right.
That's pretty much what the book consists of.
It's amazing how you're able to do all the things you're doing and as busy as you are. And as you said earlier, you're on set right now doing another movie with one of your other famous furry friends there as well.
Yes. I managed to walk away. I'm keeping an eye on them, and I hope they don't call me while I'm on the phone with you.
Well, we appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about, obviously, it's a great story. Everybody wants to know about Gidget, but what inspired you to write the book?
Well, really what got me going on it was when she did pass away in July of 2009, I was completely amazed at the response, you know, the media and just people writing in their blogs. You know, it was CNN, ABC, all the networks, the late night talk shows, they all mentioned that the Taco Bell dog had died. CNN did a tribute. All the national newspapers, you know, once the Associated Press picked it up, then it was everywhere. And I spent 3 days doing interviews on the phone. And to me, it was just amazing that, you know, this little dog, she hadn't even been on television in 7 years. That was, you know, how long it had been since the last Taco Bell commercial. And here we are 7 years later and people are still remember who she is and love her. It was crazy. It was really crazy. So I just had the idea that, you know, it's an interesting story to tell. There haven't been that many stories about famous dogs and how they got started and, you know, behind the scenes. And seeing that she is so well known, it seems like, you know, a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, I know I've got my complete set of stuffed talking Gidget Yokiro dogs in my prized possessions, so I still got those.
I hope they're still in the bags because
I didn't keep them in the bags, and they won't be on. And we posted for sale. They're my prized possessions.
Yeah, the true collectors, you know, they keep them all bagged up so they're brand new, and then like you know, 50 years down the road, they're worth a fortune.
That's right. Well, mine's in sealed containers and they'll definitely be there, but they're going to stay in my possession. That's for sure. So with Gidget, obviously, as you mentioned, you found her, she was in your life the whole time she was with you until her transition. But how did you know that Gidget had what it took to take to the commercials and the television and everything that she did?
Well, the thing is with puppies, you never know. And that's true for a pet. You don't really know what you're getting. I mean, if you get a purebred dog, obviously you have kind of an idea because you can look at both parents and previous litters and see like what you're getting. But, you know, if you get a young dog from the shelter, there's no real indication what you're going to end up with. And when you get a puppy, especially if there were no parents there, I think the lady that had her had the mother or something, and it wasn't really like, I think it was an accidental breeding. So when I saw her, it was just, I mean, initially it was her personality. 8 weeks old, there she was, jumping up and down and outgoing and just seemed like she had a really cute, and of course she was adorably cute, but, you know, which puppy isn't adorably cute? But, you know, I've had puppies before that I've got, I've trained them, and when they, you know, they get to about 2 or 3 years old and they start to go out on jobs and they just don't work out. They're personality isn't suited to be a dog working on set or mingling with lots of people, and we find homes for them. So there really is no way of telling what you're going to get when you get a puppy. Now, the other side of that is when you get an adult dog from the shelter, you have a better idea when you're getting an adult dog, you know, what you're getting when you go see it. So it's a lot of work to put. That's why we try and adopt everything. Most of our dogs are adopted from shelters. Because you put 2 or 3 years in from a puppy and then it doesn't work out. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're helping those animals out. And like you said, if it doesn't work out, if they don't settle into the work, you're finding them great homes to boot. So that's a win-win right. situation. Are there certain things you look for when selecting an animal to work with?
Well, I'm sure every trainer, studio trainer, has a different, slightly different outlook. You know, we all train the same thing, but we all have different methods, slightly different, you know, ways of going about it. You know, there's 100 ways to train a dog to sit. But for what I personally look for when I'm in a shelter is I want the most obnoxious, outgoing, fearless dog that is in that shelter. And of course, they have to have a look. I mean, when I'm going through the shelter, I'm not just going to get a dog that doesn't seem to have the right look. You know, like for instance, and this sounds kind of weird, but dogs that have straight up pointy ears are not cast as much as dogs with the floppy ears. You know, it's just like you get to know what gets cast for movies and television and commercials over the years. So you try and look for what you think would be a good look. Now, when you find something that looks good, you then, of course, check out their personality. So if, you know, if you're walking in a shelter and there's like 200 dogs barking and going off and, you know, somebody's walking through there and dropping trash cans and the dog is just standing there with his feet up on the gate, wagging his tail, and he's able to interact with you, that's amazing. But in that environment, that stressful environment, he can do that. So that's what I look for. I don't want the dog for studio work that is sitting in the back of the run with his tail tucked between his legs. You know, that might make a good pet. But for me, I need something that is not going to be intimidated, is not going to be shy, and I don't have to fix a lot of problems, you know, behavioral problems.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously being on a studio set, whether you're talking about television or for film, there's a lot of people running around doing a lot of different things, things being bumped into, and it's not always quiet on the set.
No, definitely not. And that's another part of my job is to protect, you know, my biggest part of working Gidget and taking her on set was not training her for whatever behavior that she had to do for that specific commercial. My biggest job was protecting her. So when I walk on set, I am like scanning the stage. I'm looking to see who's going to move a big lamp and drag scenery across the room. And, you know, hopefully by the time they're all set with lights and everything and ready to shoot, there's no work going on. And I walk onto a quiet set with her. But inevitably you get one person that forgets there's a dog on set and will go drop an apple box or, you know, make some loud noise and your dog jumps 10 feet in the air and, you know, whips around and is now jumpy because he's expecting loud noises every 2 or 3 minutes. So my biggest job is to protect my dogs when I go on set and always look for danger.
That's good. That's a good thing to do because, yeah, especially when you're talking about someone a little furry when the size of Gidget can be right. very easily lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to take a little bit of break here, but after the commercial break, we're going to continue our conversation with Sue Chipperton, talking about her book, A Famous Dog's Life. Right after these messages, you're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure.
Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. We're here talking to Sue Chipperton about her recently released book, A Famous Dog's Life, the story of Gidget, America's most beloved Chihuahua. Now, Sue, share with us some of the lessons that you've learned from the animals that you've worked with, especially with Gidget.
Let's see. Well, I mean, she was my first small dog. So I would have to say, pretty much going back to what I just said about, you know, protecting them. You know, I had, prior to Gidget, I had only worked large dogs, you know, labs, German Shepherds. I'd been working at Studio Animal Services, the company I still work for now, 17 years later. I'd only been there a year, and I had got my dog Beans out of the shelter when she was 6 months old. So I'd been training her for 6 months, but she was a cattle dog mix. So, you know, I guess she was one of the first dogs that made me actually get into that mode of, you know, being protective. And that's also like when you walk down the street. I mean, I go down to in Santa Monica, close to where I live. There's an area called Third Street Promenade, and it's, you know, it's a huge shopping area with restaurants, and it's a closed off, you know, walkway. There's no vehicle. But I see people walking down there, and they have their dogs on leash, little dogs, a lot of times chihuahuas, or, you know, small little handbag type dogs, and they're walking them oblivious to how their dog is reacting to the crowd around them, you know? And it's like an accessory sometimes you see these people walking these small dogs. And I just find that, you know, that really made me focus on looking at my dog, reading my dog, making sure my dog is not stressing, making sure that they're comfortable in the environment that they're in. So that was probably the biggest lesson I learned with a small dog, which then transferred to every dog I trained, because I was like, if it applies to a small dog, why would it apply to a large dog? And so that's pretty much, I guess, the biggest lesson that I learned, you know, doing this and training animals.
Good, good. Now, you've obviously, in the book, it details some of the animals that you've trained and some of the movies, but for the listeners who haven't read the book yet, give us a little bit of teaser on some of the dogs that you've trained and some of the big movies and TV shows and things that they've been on.
Well, one of the first movies, big movies that I worked on was Titanic. And people always go, wait a minute, there weren't any animals on Titanic. But we had a huge, huge boarding scene, you know, where the horse and carriages pull up and unload all the passengers. And then there were actually dogs on the Titanic in real life, and they duplicated the breeds, and we had the dogs boarding. In fact, there was a lot of stuff that we shot that never ended up in a movie. Mm-hmm. It never ended up on the big screen. And then we did train the rats. You know, I was one of like four or five trainers on that job. And we had the rats in the one scene when the ship is sinking and they're going up the corridor. So it was that one. And then, of course, I did both Legally Blonde movies and trained the Chihuahua Mooney for that. So that was fun. And Reese Witherspoon was an absolute perfect, perfect actor to work with and a joy to work with as far as working with animals. And in fact, she wrote the foreword for the book, for my book,
right,
which was fantastic. Let's see, I've Brad Pitt. I worked on Seven, laying in on the ground in rain gear as they're making rain, and I'm releasing pigeons from behind an air conditioning unit on top of a building in downtown Los Angeles. As Brad jumps over my body, I pigeon into the air. It's exactly how I imagined meeting Brad Pitt. And, you know, I've on down the road, I've done a lot of movies with the director, Tony Scott. The Fan was one of them. There was a Rottweiler in there and some puppies, and Crimson Tide, we had a cat and a dog, and more recently in the last 3-4 years, Deja Vu. So we always work with him and Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino, with the dog in that. And we just did a few little dogs in his latest movie, J. Edgar. So, yeah, our company, Studio Animal Services, that I work for, while we primarily do commercials as our bread and butter, you know, it's fun every now and again we get the occasional movie that comes along, which kind of breaks it up.
Absolutely. So big names, big movies. And I hear that Gidget had a nice encounter with Antonio Banderas' nose at one point.
Yeah, I was actually working for another animal company at the time. They'd subcontracted all the animal companies in Los Angeles. While we're all, you know, everyone's working for themselves, we all subcontract from one another. So they had this movie, Crazy in Alabama, that they needed three chihuahuas for. So Gidget went along, out of character, not hired as the Taco Bell dog, merely as a chihuahua to be in the scene. And Antonio Banderas was directing it, of course. And this was during the time that I called Gidget's naughty phase, when she got to the point where she was kind of fed up with all the attention. And people would come up and put their face right in, if you were holding her, would put their face right in and go, "Oh, a cute little chihuahua." And she would go, "Ah." and aim for their nose with her mouth. And Antonio fell right into the trap. So he called it a love bite, I think, at the time. I was a little bit mortified that my dog had just bitten the director, but he didn't seem to care.
That's right. So lessons learned, dog lessons learned, never put your face in there without asking. That's the key.
Yes, definitely.
Now, Sue, I know you talked a little bit earlier about all the impact when Gidget made her transition when she passed away. I know I saw it on Facebook, of all things. The announcement came out, and I saw that. And of course, I was deeply touched and remembered Gidget and everything she did. But can you tell us, can you reflect back on maybe one of the most memorable letters or emails, something that you received from the fans of Gidget when she made her transition?
Well, gosh, there were several. And the amazing part was, like I said, not only the tributes and everything that were on the national networks, but it was the personal blogs, you know, where, you know, I did a Google search and I think I got to page 45 and just stopped looking at them because it was so many. But I remember, like, there was a guy who, he made a t-shirt, he's an artist, and he did a tribute t-shirt, which he was, of course, selling. But it was just this, he did Gidget's face in one of the typical Taco Bell poses, and he made it out of nachos and cheese. it was bizarre how, I mean, it was, I had to look at it twice. I'm like, that is made out of tacos and cheese? I mean, it looked like an oil painting. And he had crafted this image, and then he photographed it, and then he applied it, you know, to t-shirts. But, you know, things like that. I mean, I can't actually pick out one specific letter, but, you know, just the things that people did like that, it was so nice. And other people, you know, did collages and stuff that they had of her. And it truly was just amazing, the amount of people that blogged about her the days after.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the transition, making the passing that our animals make, obviously have a big impact on us. And I know one of the last chapter is one of the toughest ones for me to read about her transition. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, not the whole process, but what's that impact and how does that impact you on a personal level?
Well, it's, you know, obviously it's hard with any dog, but, you know, the other thing that was hard for me, and I'm just so glad I was home, is I travel so much and I always have someone stay at my house. So I was extremely grateful that I was actually home and some poor, you know, dog sitter, house sitter didn't have to, you know, call me up and tell me, because it was a shocking, I don't know, you know, to see your dog laying there and she had a stroke, she's completely paralyzed. It's like, I mean, I had no idea what was going on. I was just like all kinds of things to my head. And I was physical all the way to the vet. And so it was extremely hard. And then, you know, in 15 years, she's always there. And she used to sleep on the chair next to my bed in her own bed. So, you know, you go to make the food for all your dogs and you put down their dog bowls and suddenly there's not, you know.
Yeah. It's tough. It's very, I always find that I have two schnauzers myself, and my boy Woody passed away last July, and I still find it surreal today, you know, to not have the additional bowl there and feeling him around me, knowing, you know, remembering him and feeling him around me, but yet he's made his transition. It's, to me, it's very happy at times, sad at times, but very surreal. It just doesn't seem possible. Well, you can find out more about Sue Chipperton in her new book, A Famous Dog's Life, The Story of Gidget, America's Most Beloved Chihuahua. You can go to her website by going to afamousdogslife.com. Pick up the book. You're going to love it. Obviously, everybody knows Gidget, but there's some great stories about all the other dogs and the great things that Sue does. You can check her out as well. So the book's called A Famous Dog's Life, The Story of Gidget, America's Most Beloved Chihuahua. Go to afamousdogslife.com, or you can go to the Animal Rights blog, and we'll have something there as well. So, Sue, I want to thank you for joining the show today. Thanks for being on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So we're coming to the end of the show today. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Also want to thank Sue Chipperton for being on the show today. Thank you to our sponsors and producers for putting on another wonderful show and making this all possible. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and other guests that I've interviewed, as well as guests I'm going to be interviewing, you can visit the Animal Rights Show tab and blog on Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on Animal Rights. Check out the blog. Listen to all the interviews we've had and keep posted, because we're always putting new interviews on there. So while you're there, also check out all the other shows and hosts that we have. It's a cavalcade of celebrities and wonderful hosts, great topics about animals. It's at PetLifeRadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can email me. Email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I will answer any questions you've got, entertain any comments you have. Let me know who you'd like to see on the show, and I'll do my very best to bring them on to the show. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or in a book. Who knows? You may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.